Open your Bible, please, to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5. And verse 14. 5:14, Matthew. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men. Underscore that. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now hold that. Hold that verse 16. Underscore it. Memorize it. Think of it again and again. Let your light so shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Now back in 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. And verse 4. 1 Thessalonians 5, 4. But ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You're all the children of light and the children of the day. We're not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, underscore that, let us, we're of the day. Now we belong to the daytime. We belong to Christ. We're of the day. Be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Isn't that magnificent? We're to shine. We're to shine. Let your light so shine before men. Are you shining? Christian, are you shining? Think of your life. Are you actually shining for Christ? When you walk down the street, when you do your business, when you drive your car, in any place, are you shining for Christ? Do people know you as a man of God, a woman of God? Now, we're all to shine. If you're a Christian, you're to shine. Mr. Clinton is a Baptist. He's to shine. He's at a basketball game tonight on the West Coast somewhere. And I keep up with things. And he's a Baptist. And he said, I'm saved. Now, he's to shine. If you're not shining, he's sinning. That's right, he's sinning, and so are you. And you're to shine all of the time. Everybody, the humblest Christian, the oldest, the youngest Christian, is to shine all of the time. You're to shine for the glory of God. Robert Louis Stevenson, a very great writer of years gone by, told the story of a boy who stood at the window of his home in the olden days and watched a man come down the street putting lights on the lampstands before electric lights on the sidewalks. At certain intervals, there were poles put up, and a man come with a little ladder and put a light on the top of that. That was on some of the streets of big cities. And this boy stood and watched the man putting the lights on the lampstand going down the street. And one night as he stood there watching the man, someone came up to him, son, what are you doing? He said, I'm watching the man knock holes in the darkness. I'm watching the man knock holes in the darkness. I read the story, and I said, that's what I'm to do. I'm to so live my life every day, I'm knocking a hole in the darkness. And you're to live your life that way, Christian. Young man, young woman, you're to so live every hour that you're knocking a hole in the darkness. And man, the darkness is all around us. The nation's in darkness. Foreign countries in darkness. England's in darkness. As dead as it can be. I go there, I've been there often. Dead. France is in darkness. Even Israel's in darkness. Christ is pushed out. Africa, India, all in the same way. And in America. And we should shine in the darkness day by day and shine for the glory of God. Listen to this. At one time, 64% of the population of America had church membership. Today, less than 49%. In 1900, we had 27 churches for every 10,000 Americans. Today, we have in 85 is some years back, we had only 12 churches for 10,000 Americans. Wait a minute. Between 3,500 and 4,000 churches close their doors every year, churches of all denominations. I mean, go out of business completely. Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, between 3,500 and 4,000 go out of business completely in America. Wait a minute. 7,000 Southern Baptist churches last year didn't have a single baptism in 12 months. What do you think of that? 7,000 had buildings, had choirs, had organs, had pianos, had Sunday school, had all, and not one saved. Not one baptism. 7,000. And last year, 400 churches took the bankrupt loan 1 year. Whoop. 400 of them couldn't make it. 400 churches took the bankrupt. These are authentic figures that I'm giving you. In America, we have 21,000 ordained women preachers. You can have them all. Southern Baptists have over 900 ordained women. In our city, one lady is the associate pastor of the church, and I said, a woman, First Baptist Church downtown. The man, the pastor, they got a woman, and she preaches every Sunday. I'm just pointing out some things. Last year in Washington, D.C., there were 383 murders in 1 year. That's more than one per day. And on they could go. Now, since 1960 in America, there have been 47 million divorces. Think of that. 47 million divorces. Since 1960, 550,000 deaths from drunk driving. 23 million uses of illegal drugs. 18 million babies killed by abortion. 18 million. 366,000 murders. 9,500,000 illegitimate births. Now, I'm pointing out some of the darkness of the hour. Now, in this darkness, you're to shine. You say, preacher, I don't know. Yes, you can. You can do it. Just follow the word of God. And you should shine for the glory of God and know that God is with you and God will supply and God will give you strength and give you courage, give you wisdom if you wait upon Him and you can shine for Him every day. I don't care how young you are, how old you are, you just shine.
Amen.
I mean, don't apologize. Don't pull your flag down. Just say, I'm a believer in Christ Jesus. I'm going to shine for the glory of God.
Amen.
I give you three thoughts. Number one, we're to knock holes in the darkness by the way we live.
Right.
Knock holes in the darkness for the way you live. Here's your Bible. No one lives to himself and no one dies to himself. Romans 14:7. Here's your Bible. Destroy not with thy meat him for whom Christ died. We're to shine. And we're to shine every hour. Live for Christ every moment. Shine for him every day. And stay up this night and day. And to knock holes in the darkness for the way you live. Live a clean life. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Let people see Christ in you. Don't compromise. Don't be wishy-washy. Don't be up and down. Don't be warm, but be on fire for God.
No,
wait, knock holes by the darkness, in the darkness by the way we live. I was holding a meeting in Birmingham, Alabama, and the pastor said before the service one evening, he said, Brother Robert, we've got time. Let's drive to South Side and see a man who is unsaved. His wife belongs to our church. And he said, this man is lost. I've tried to win him. I can't do a thing. Would you go with him? Sure, go with you. I went with him. Went out the South Side, went in the apartment house, went up to the fifth floor, and I knocked on the door. A man came to the door, and the pastor said, Brother Robertson, this is Mr. So-and-so. I want you to talk to him. And Mr. So-and-so, we've come to see you. I want to talk to you about being saved, being a Christian. So we're inside. And said, he introduced me. I picked up my Bible and began to read to this man what it meant to be born again. And the fellow said, I'm not interested. I don't want to be saved. He said, I don't care about being a Christian. I have no interest in that at all. He turned me away. I said, well, this is what the book said. You're lost. You're going to hell. I said, take a chance on that. It didn't bother me a bit. And went on talking. After all, I said, let's pray about the matter. So I got on my knees and said, would you kneel with me? He knelt with me grudgingly. And I prayed for him. He got up and said, no, I'm not interested at all. Well, I didn't want to give up. We had to go back to the meeting. It was late. And I knew I had to go, but I said, let me tell you once more what it means to be saved. You're lost, you're condemned, you're going to hell. You need Christ, you need Him now. And I kept on insisting. And finally I said, now we've got to go. I want to pray for you once more and ask God to speak to your heart and send conviction upon you by the Holy Spirit, make you see your lost condition, and help you to accept Christ. I said, kneel with me. He didn't want to kneel, but he finally got down. And I began to pray. And I began to pray that God would save that man. And as I did so, there came a cry and a thud. I couldn't help it. I looked up. Across the room, the wife had dropped out of a chair, down the floor on her knees, and was crying and pounding on the floor. She said, Lord, it's my fault. It's my fault. If he goes to hell, it's my fault. I've been compromising. I've been going with him to the honky-tonks. I've been with him to the dance halls. And Lord, I'm saved. Lord, forgive me. I've hurt my husband. He looked at me. And I looked at that woman while she cried out to God. And all of a sudden, I turned back to the man. And tears were coursing down his cheeks. I said, sir, you want to be saved? I said, I sure do. That man got saved that night. We got up from there. He was wiping tears away. He said, I'm a child of God. Praise God. And dear wife standing there wiping tears away. She'd gotten right with God. And I started to leave, and I said, now, sir, you're saved. Now, tomorrow night, you come walk down the aisle of the church and take your stand for Christ. He said, tomorrow night, nothing will come in tonight. It was late. He was not dressed, but he got ready and came to church that night and walked down the aisle. I saw him baptized. Whenever I go to Birmingham now, he'll be in the meeting somewhere. And he's sitting right there remembering that night when he got saved. Wait a minute. When the wife got right, something happened. Oh, you better watch it. Mother and dad, your children, watch you. And you better watch. Be careful. And your school friends, watch your young people. And in the schools around the city or anywhere you go. And you say, oh God, I want to live for Christ every moment of the day. Now, knock holes in the darkness for the way you live by living for Christ. Had a big revival going on in Highland Park one night. And I came in the auditorium and down the aisle. Many of you have been to our big, the old church building, see 3,500 people. And she came running down the aisle and crying. Said, oh, Brother Robertson, pray for my mother and daddy that lost and going to hell. And said, I want to see him saved. I said, all right, girl, let's pray right now. So I dropped on the floor right in the front pew and I began to pray. And all of a sudden I stopped. I said, girl, wait a minute. I said, there's something wrong here. Are you the only Christian in your home? I said, yes, I am. You got a lost sister and your mother and father lost. That's right. And I said, you're the only Christian in your home. I said, are you living for God yourself? She began to cry. I said, no, I'm not. I've been going to the dances, the high school dances. I've been doing the wrong things. I said, girl, I can't pray for your mother, dad, and sister unless you get right. I said, well, you get right, then I'll pray for them. And she cried and wept and cried and wept. And finally said, all right, I'm ready. I'll make a complete sacrifice. I want to give up everything in this world. I want Christ to be seen in me. And she said, I want you to pray for them to be saved. We did pray. And two nights, her mother and sister came forward. God said, but the man didn't. The father didn't come. And the meeting was coming to a close. I sat on the platform one night, looked back in the back. And way back in the back, I saw a big man come in with black hair, big, tall fella. And that's the description I had of the father. I'd never seen him. Hadn't been able to find him. And he walked in and sat way back in the back. And the preacher preached that night, gave an invitation. And the first one down the aisle was this big man, the father in that family. And walked around the corner. I grabbed his hand and said, sir, why? Because I don't want to be saved. I said, well, sir, what did the preacher say tonight that moved you? He said, nothing. I said, what brought you forward tonight? He said, my little girl brought me forward. Amen. He said, when she gave up everything in the world and said, I'm living for Christ, he said, then I decided I want to live for him too. Amen. And I want to be saved. I led that man to the Lord. I baptized that man and his whole family. Now, wait a minute. I'm saying you better say, Lord, I'm going to live a separated life. I want to shine for the glory of God. I want to shine. Knock holes in the darkness for the way you live. You don't have to be any education special, any bracket of money. Just whoever you are, a man, woman, farmer, merchant, whatever you are, just live for Christ. Just live for Him every day and knock a hole in the darkness for the way you live. I hasten on. Secondly, knock holes in the darkness by the testimony of our lips. By the testimony of our lips. Jesus said, ye shall be witnesses unto me. A witness is one who tells what he knows. That's all. A witness is one who tells what he knows. And you're to be a witness for Christ, to tell people what you know. Now, soul winning is witnessing and telling people of Christ the Savior. And we're to knock hold of the darkness by the testimony of our lips. We're to speak of Christ. I used to preach up in Charleston, West Virginia, a whole lot, at the old rescue mission. And Pat Withrow, a man who ran the mission, been there 40 years, would meet me at the airplane up on the top of the mountain. And to get in the car, get my suitcase, come down the car. And by the car would always be standing a man from the mission, and ready to hold the door for Pat to get in. He was head of the mission. And they were sweet and kind to him. And he'd put him in there. And I put my suitcase in the back end. We'd sit in the back seat. Pat wanted to do that. He'd make the man drive in the front seat. We'd sit in the second. And going down the hill, down the mountain, he'd always say, John, Jim, George, whatever name, anybody, tell Brother Roberts what happened to you. And this fellow driving the car down the hill, down that old mountain, would be in talk. I was saved 2 months 23 days ago, and give a minute almost, and tell the whole story about his salvation, and just kept up all the time, everywhere. And finally, one day I said, Brother Pat, why do you do that? He said, I've discovered something. If you can keep a man close to his profession of faith, to the realization of what he has, he'll be a better Christian. But he said, when you forget about it and turn away and you're indifferent about it, you can't give a testimony, there's something wrong with you. And he said, I keep on telling my men to testify their salvation. And he said, hundreds and thousands have been saved and are living useful lives because of this very thing. Now, wait a minute. You let your light shine by the testimony of your lips, and so live that others will see Christ in you. I preached one Sunday morning in Highland Park, and a great, big, tall young man came down the aisle. He said, I want to get saved. And I took my Bible, led him to the Lord. When he got saved, he said, Brother Ross, could I be baptized this morning? I said, certainly. That's the Bible way. And the day of Pentecost, 3,000 got saved and got baptized the same day. I said, sure, go on back and get ready. We did it all the time. and he went back and he came in the water after a while and I baptized the man. And when he came up out of the water, he said, Brother Robinson, I want you to pray for my wife. I said, she not a Christian? He said, no, she's lost. Well, I said, you know what I'll do? I'll get ready. I'll come to see her this afternoon and bring my Bible and come to see her today. He said, no, you won't. Well, I said, I don't mind coming at all. He said, no, I don't want you. I said, why don't you? He said, I'll do it myself. He said, I'm saved. I won't tell her how I got saved. And he said, it'll work. It'll work for me. It'll work for her too. I said, well, God bless you. We had prayer and left. That Sunday night came along. And you know how you feel about a servant. The building was full, balcony full, everything full. I got on a platform, looked back in the back. They were singing a song. And right on that last row in the downstairs stood this big fellow, young fellow, tall as he could be. And I saw him standing back there. I didn't say, lady. I said, well, he failed. She's not here. He didn't get her. And she's not here tonight. He's by himself. And I preached my sermon. I said, I know what he's going to do. At the end of the hour, he's going to walk down the aisle. He's going to come down the aisle and say, Brother Robertson, I failed. You better come and see my wife tomorrow. I know he's going to do it. And so I preached the sermon, gave him to the, and sure enough, he left the back seat, way back in the back, and started down the aisle. I saw him striding down the aisle, as bold as could be. And I said, I know what he's coming for. But when he turned the corner, my side was a little short lady. He was up here and she was down here. He came up to me and said, this is my wife. I led her to Christ this afternoon. She's saved, and she was. I have the joy of baptizing her. I saw the two of them live together, serving God as Christian people. Wait a minute, my friend. Let your light so shine. Let your light so shine. Now look, I've preached in all of these churches, in my own church, and thousands of more. During 40 years, I preached in a different church every week, Monday and Tuesday, and now in three a week. And all of them, I meet so many people, and they want to do something for God, but they're not doing it. Now, number one, you live for Him. You live for Him, and let people know that you're saved. Let your light shine every hour, and no matter where you go, in the bank, in the grocery store, in the school, just live for Him every hour. And no matter who you are, God's going to use you. In Birmingham, Alabama, where I often preach, East Lake Baptist Church, had a man come forward one night, brought to the front a little girl about 10 years old, and he said, Pastor, I'll lead her to the Lord. And I thought that was interesting. A man of some years had the Bible in his hand, led a little girl to the Lord. And I said, that's wonderful. At the end of that meeting, this man came up to me. He said, Brother Robertson, would you do me a favor? Would you sign my Bible? I mean, a man of years, signed my Bible, just like a child. I took my fountain pen, I opened up his Bible, looked at it. I saw names everywhere. Every page, front and back. I said, sir, I can't find a place big enough to write my name down. I said, who are all these people? And very humbly he said, they're the names of the people I have led to the Lord. I went to the pastor, said, Pastor, they're right. He said, yes. He said, the little girl came forward, but he had already led her mother and father to the Lord before she came. He said, that man, one of the biggest soul winners I've ever seen, never finished grammar school. Never finished grammar school. And I could add to that. Anybody here out of Highland Park, around Highland Park, remember the name of M.J. Parker, who ran our buses in Highland Park? Back in the back, yes, sir. M.J. Parker never finished a third grade in school. He ran our 35 buses. You remember the name. And he led thousands to the Lord. I mean thousands. He let God use him. Now, wait a minute. You knock holes in the darkness by the way you live. Number two. Number three. Knock holes in the darkness by your evasion. Vision. Without evasion, the people perish. Without evasion. Matthew 9:36. He saw the multitudes and had compassion upon them. That's reason I build a Sunday school, Pastor. Build a Sunday school to win people to Christ. Amen. That's reason I build church services and choirs and all. They'll do it all to win people to Christ. Not to make a show, but get people there so they can hear the gospel and come to the Savior. Now get a vision of a lost and dying world. Get a vision of it. Say, oh God, I want to see people saved. And I got a vision of a lost world. Maybe God's calling some of the young people to be missionaries. Volunteer and say, I'm ready to go. Get a vision of lost souls in Africa and India and China and everywhere you place else, and let God take you there. Get a vision, get a vision. Get a vision like Francis Wood's got. Francis Wood belonged to our church. Tall, handsome, nice lady. She was the head nurse for the Campbell's Clinic. Top nurse. And a good one. She came forward one Sunday morning. Said, Brother Robertson, God's called me to be a missionary to Africa. I said, Francis, are you sure? She said, I'm positive. I know it. I'm going. Well, I told the audience about it. The next day, Monday came along, Dr. Campbell called me, the medical doctor. He said, you tell the girl she's crazy. She can't go. I said, you tell her yourself. I'm going to tell the woman anything. And I said, you tell her yourself. He said, I already told her. Said, she can't go. She's my head nurse. She's the best I've ever had. And I don't want her on a missionary. She can be a missionary here in Chattanooga. I said, Doc, you can tell her all you want to, but I'm afraid she's going, and she didn't go. When I spent her first 4 years in the field, did a great work. A missionary nurse. Oh, she was wonderful. Came home, sent her furlough, talked to the church everywhere, and went back for the second term on the field. And on the second term, she met a young man named Michael Warburton. Michael Warburton was an English man from London, an engineer in Station Africa doing engineering work. She met him, they fell in love. And they got married and lived on the mission field. And he did his engineering work, and she lived in the mission compound doing her work as a missionary. They went along beautifully. But one morning, she got out of bed, went in that little grass-covered hut. I've seen pictures of it. Getting breakfast ready. Got breakfast. Said, Mike, breakfast is ready. Called him. No answer. Called him again. No answer. Went back to the bed. Said, what's wrong? He said, honey, I'm paralyzed. I can't move from my waist down. I can't move my legs at all. Not a bit, not a particle. She was a nurse. She began treating him right away to see if she could help him. She could help him. They called for the missionary nurse, missionary doctor on the field. He couldn't help. So they had to ship him into London, England. Michael Warburton, big, tall, handsome Englishman, paralyzed from his waist down. And they stayed in England. He stayed 6 months. 6 long months. They couldn't do a thing for him. That man was paralyzed and could not move a muscle from his waist down. And so they dismissed him. They came back to Chattanooga. We came back, and we got a little place to live next door to us, our home on Bailey Avenue. Now, I helped him put a rampway up there for his wheelchair. And they were there in every service of the church. That big, handsome Englishman, an engineer, and his dear wife is home with him because of his condition. And I talked to him often. I'd give him a Bible, and Bible, do Bible readings. He was a very smart man, and I kept up with him a whole lot. But wait a minute, one day, I'm walking up the street on the orchard knob side of our church. And down the sidewalk came Michael Warburton in a wheelchair. I mean that big Englishman. Big fella. Legs paralyzed. Rolling that wheelchair down the street. Looked like 60 miles an hour. And he rolled it down and stopped in front of me and looked me in the eye and said, Brother Robertson, God has called me to be a missionary. I said, Mike, of course, that's wonderful, but you can't be. You're paralyzed. He looked at me and said, Brother Robertson, God has called me to be a missionary. I said, Mike, it can't be done, son. You can't do it. He looked back again. He said, Sir, God has called me to be a missionary. I said, I believe I got it. I believe I got it. Are you listening? He took Bible courses and went back to the mission field, a paralyzed man, in northern Rhodesia with his wife. He began building churches, organizing churches, and building. He was an engineer. He got churches built, buildings put up, and organized churches. Did a magnificent, magnificent work, and still doing it today. Completely paralyzed from the waist down. My wife and I flew to London some time ago. Got off the plane, walked into the airport. In the London airport, you've got a great big glass wall there. That's where the passengers come in. Then the people to meet them stand beyond the glass wall, enclosed. And we still walked in that area with the passengers, and beyond the glass wall, there stood our missionary, Frances Warburton, and her husband, Michael Warburton. He was in a wheelchair. They came all the way from northern Rhodesia, Africa, to London to greet us and to say, we just want to be with you. And we had dinner with them, took them around the town some, and a thought of what God can do. Wait a minute. You obey God. You say, I can't. I'm not strong enough. Don't have the education. You let God supply it all. He'll take care of you. And you get a vision of a lost and dying world and say, I want to win souls to Christ. Then get a vision of your local field. Pastor, your people get a vision of this field here. And up and down the streets. I've never been here before in my life. But lo and behold, you got a lot of folks around here. Get a vision of it. Say, Lord, we can do something. And we're going to do something. Get a vision. And say, oh God, we want to win souls to Christ. We want to stir this whole countryside with the message of the Lord Jesus. We lost a baby. Her name was Joy. 6 weeks old. Died suddenly. It broke our hearts. that out of the death of that baby came Camp Joy for children. Camp Joy. God gave me 100 acres of land, Lake Chickamauga. God supplied it all. And for years, we've had thousands saved at Camp Joy. And all goes back to the death of our baby. That stirred our hearts. Now you let God stir your heart and get a vision of your local field. Say, oh God, I want to do my best for you. I want to serve you with all of my heart. Then get a vision of individual need. Lost condition of men. Get a vision of your lost parents. A vision of a lost wife or lost husband. Lost children. And say, oh God, I want to see them born to Christ. I want to do my best. I want to knock a hole in the darkness. I want to point them to the Lamb of God, that they might be saved, born again, and brought to the Savior to love Him and to serve Him. Oh, get a vision of it. You see, what you have is available to all people, if they'll take it. If they'll take it. Now, I've been said to give it. He said, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, and we're to witness for Him. And we're to tell people of it. We're to knock a hole in the darkness of this evil world by telling about Christ. And what He can do for souls when they repent and believe and receive Him. What miracles can take place. Let God lead you. Knock a hole in the darkness of this world. I had a phone call one morning from a nurse at the Erlanger Hospital, our big hospital. And said, Brother Robertson, we just had a man brought in here, pitiful shape. And she said, I think he's dying, but would you come and see him? Said, he tried to kill himself. He took a straight razor and cut his throat from ear to ear. We found him in front of the police found him in front of the rescue mission downtown, bleeding to death. And said, he's here now. Would you? I said, sure, I'll be in a minute. I jumped in the car and drove over there. She met me at the door and said, come on in this way. Brought me into the emergency room. And the doctor had gone out. And there lying upon the cot in the center of that little emergency room was a man, blood everywhere. Blood across his throat, nothing but blood, red as could be, blood everywhere. He'd cut his throat from ear to ear with a razor and down and dropped in the ditch and in the gutter in front of the rescue mission. And she said, there he is. You talk to him. I said, I sure will. She left. I took my Bible out and began reading a verse or two. I said, can you? I said, yes, I can hear you. I said, sir, you need Christ? I said, yes, I'm lost. I need Christ. I led that man to the Savior. A dying man, oh, he was so pitiful. And the doctor didn't come in. I guess they'd given him up. He's kind of, they'd pick up out of the gutter, you know, and not be in a hurry to get to them. And so no one came in, and I witnessed to him a long time. And then I prayed with him, and I said, now, sir, if you'll accept Christ as your Savior, won't you give me your hand? I can still feel that hand coming up from the side of that cut, bloody hand, and take my hand. It stuck to my hand with his blood. He said, preacher, I'll trust him now. I guess I'm dying. But I'll trust him right now as my Savior. And I held his hand and I prayed with him again and said, Lord, bless him and help him, but be your will, stir him and touch his body and make him well. But if in your hands, I'm glad he's saved, Lord. And I told him goodbye. I went to the door and waved him, and he lifted his hand, waved to me as I went out the door. I went out and I told that story to people. I was preaching every day somewhere, and I repeated that story about the man getting saved. And I thought it was a great story. The fellow's name was Jowers, J-O-W-E-R-S. And I told people about it. And about how God had saved a dying man who had cut his throat from ear to ear with a straight razor. And come the end of his way, he couldn't go any further. So it'll end it all. And just cut his throat and they brought him to the hospital and I led him to the Lord. I told the story. 4 weeks went by. And one Sunday morning, at the end of a morning hour, I gave an invitation. And down the aisle walked a man and walked up to me. He said, do you know me? I said, no, sir. I don't believe I do. He said, take a look. Oh. Raised his head. That scar was healed, as it were, in 4 weeks' time. A red, livid scar all the way across. He said, I'm Mr. Jowers. When I got saved, I decided I didn't want to die. I told the doctor I wasn't going to die. He said, I'm here. I'm praising God. I'm saved. I'm born again. I baptized Mr. Jowers. Didn't have any money. Gave him room to live in. Gave him meals in the college dining hall. Paid his bill. And he went on. And he grew in grace. He gave a Bible to read. He read it all the way through, day by day. Just read that Bible from cover to cover. And came back to me and talked about it. And still just recovering and getting his strength back. And then one day he said, Brother Robertson, I want you to pray for me. I'm going down to Columbus, Georgia, and visit my wife. She divorced me years ago, and I don't blame her. I was a drunken bum. And she divorced me, and I'm going to see her. I got a boy, 12 years old. I've only seen him once or twice. And in his lifetime. And said, I want you to pray. So I prayed for him. And he left there. I gave him a bus fare to ride the bus to Columbus. He rode to Columbus from there for some days, and I didn't know what had happened. I didn't know what was going to take place. We looked out the window of our home on Bailey Avenue, and up the sidewalk one day was walking this man and a lady and a boy about 12 years old by her side. And he came to the front door. I went to the Lord, and he said, "Brother Robertson, this is my wife. We're divorced now, as you know, and this is my son." He said, "I tried to lead him to the Lord, and I couldn't." He said, "Would you try?" I said, "I sure will." They brought him in the living room. I took him a Bible, led that wife and the son to the Lord. And they were there. And then I had to find a place for them to live. So I found a spot for her to live with her boy in another home, and he lived in another place. They were divorced. And it went on. They'd come to church, sit together in church, and then they'd go where they lived at night. But I can still see the morning when they came walking up the front of the sidewalk in front of our home on Bailey Avenue, the three of them together, and came up to the front door, knocked on the door. I waited a moment, then opened the door. And he said, "Brother Robertson," said, "you know me?" I said, "Yes, sir." "And you know my wife?" I said, "Yes." "And my son?" He said, "You led us all to the Lord." I said, "Yes, I know." He said, "Would you do us a favor? We want to get married." We want to get married. They were married. They're living for Christ today in San Antonio, Texas, serving God. I'm talking about the miracles of the Lord. Amen. Knock a hole in the darkness. Amen. Let God use your life. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, have your way tonight with every one of us, with every Christian here tonight, with every deacon of the church, every teacher in the Sunday school, every pastor, with all of us. Have your own way and bless and speak to hearts. May thy will be done with all of us. I'm going to say now, Brother Robertson, pray for me. I haven't been doing my best, and I know it. And I want to rededicate my life. But just want you to pray for me. And I want to do my best for Christ. I want to knock holes in the darkness by my life. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand, please? God bless you. God bless you. All the way back to the back. God bless you, young man, young woman, mother, dad. Amen. Live for Christ. Live for him every moment. Every moment. How many here tonight say, "Brother Robertson, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, but I have loved ones and friends who are lost. I want to be a soul winner. I want God to use me to win people to Christ. Would you please pray for me? I want to be a winner of souls. Would you raise your hand up high? I've got someone in my heart tonight. I'm praying for my son, my daughter, my mother, my father, husband, wife. God bless you. God bless you. And I pray for them right now. Right now you can knock a hole in the darkness. Your prayers will do it. Talk to God. Talk to God. He'll hear you. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it," he said. You pray in the name of Jesus and pray for those lost ones to be brought to Christ. Now tonight with heads bowed, is there someone here who had never been saved? You've never accepted Christ. Would you say, "Please pray for me. Please pray for me. I'm lost. I need Christ. Pray for me." Would you raise your hand way up in the air? If you've never been saved anywhere, boy, girl, man, or woman, put your hand up. Take it down. I'll see it. Just hold it for a moment. Anywhere in the building, I'm waiting for you. Just raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. I don't see a hand raised, but maybe there's some. We're a little fearful. We're praying for you. If you're not saved, let God have his way. I wonder how many here tonight say, "Brother Robertson, I'm a Christian, but I'm facing some big decisions right now. I need divine help. Please pray for me. I'm facing some big decisions in my home, in my business, in whatever it may be. But pray for me." Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Hands are raised. Now let God have his way. Let him direct you every step of the way. We're going to sing in a moment. "Where he leads me, I will follow." And as we sing, I want you folks who are deeply concerned to come forward and have a closing prayer. I want to pray for you. If you want God's will in your life, you want to be a soul winner, you need guidance in some problem, I want you to come. No matter who you are, just if you're ready, visitors, members alike, just come on, young and old, stand around the altar, or kneel if you want to. I'm going to pray for you tonight. Let God settle some things tonight in your life. If you're lost, come, please. Let this dear pastor speak to you and tell you about the Savior. Get us settled tonight. Father, have your way now, for Jesus' sake. Amen.